All right. Well, welcome to www.spirituality.org.za. And it's always great to be able to get a bit of a chance to do a podcast. And today's podcast is quite special because it's being recorded from a very unique and wonderful location. I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a few moments, but thanks for tuning in and for downloading this. It's always a wonderful joy to be able to put something together to send out and put out on the net. And also just want to say thanks to all those who've been faithfully coming back and checking out my website, www.spirituality.org.za/blogger, blogger.html, and for the wonderful comments and feedback that I've been getting on some of the stories. And as you would have seen over the last while, some of the stuff has been lighthearted and fun and just a reflection of what I've been looking at on the internet. Some of it's been a little more serious, and the comments are always welcome. Now, let's talk a little bit about today's show. Well, this show is being recorded on Sunday, the 9th of July, 2006. And I said earlier that it's coming from a very special location. Normally, the shows are recorded either in my office at the seminary in Pitts Avenue in Pretoria, in Weaven Park in South Africa. Sometimes they get recorded from my home where I hook up my mic and my little mixing desk to my Mac and record from there. But today I'm recording from Bondi Beach in New South Wales, Australia, just outside of the glorious city of Sydney. And let me tell you, it is a beautiful day out here today. As I look off to my right, I can see a number of surfers in the waves. And just ahead of me is a beautiful, large, unspoiled beach and the lovely city of Bondi. Over the hill to my left-hand side, of course, is where the north shore of Sydney extends. Although, no, this would actually be the south shore of the city of Sydney. And directly in front of me, if I look just over the hill and past the monument, that would be out towards Manly. So I'm sitting here on the beach, and you may be wondering what I've been doing in Sydney. Well, if you've been checking in on the website, you would have seen that the for the last week or so, since last week Saturday, for just over a week, I've been in Sydney to attend the Hillsong Christian Conference, which was held at the Sydney Olympic Park, at Sydney Olympic Stadium. And what a wonderful week it's been. You know, I am incredibly, incredibly aware of the fact that I live one of the most privileged lives of any person on earth. I was born into a wonderful family. Sure, you know, in those early years there were some tough times for those who know my testimony. But God has really just blessed me beyond measure. I mean, it's the most incredible thing to think. The wonderful blessing that I've received in my life. And this week was just another one of those wonderful blessings. About a month ago, two friends of mine from the church where I preach on Sundays, the Bryanston Methodist Church, you can check out their website, www.bmc.org.za. The Bryanston Methodist Church, two of my friends, Julia and Dave. Julia is one of our worship leaders in the evening service, a very gifted woman, and Dave, who leads a cell group and is involved in the young adults ministry. The two of them approached me and said, "Dion, we just want to bless you, and we want you to be renewed and excited and to discover new blessing and new opportunities and get inspired and get new ideas. And we would like to send you to come to the Hillsong Conference." You know, initially when they spoke to me, I said, "There's just no way that I can accept a gift that generous. I mean, it's literally thousands of rands to fly here and stay." And I said to them, "Guys, I really couldn't do it." And they eventually, you know, kept on at me and the senior minister of our church, the Reverend Christopher Harrison, spoke to me and said, come on, you know, if they want to bless you, you just receive that. And well, I can tell you, I'm so pleased that I took up that offer and so grateful to God for the incredible work that they put into getting me here. It's a great sacrifice. I mean, these two young people are chartered accountants. They're very busy and they have all sorts of pressures and didn't need to worry about adding this to their list. But they did it and raised the money for me to come. And I just want to thank God for their generosity. It really has been such a magnificent transformation and encouragement. Now, the conference itself takes place in the morning, every morning at 9 a.m. and then every afternoon at 4:30 and evening at 7:45. There are combined sessions in the Sydney Olympic, ASA Olympic Stadium. And I've put a couple of photos up on the blog, and I'll put a few more up and one or two little video clips. Friends, it is the most incredible thing to see how God is using Christians from all over the world to communicate and share the gospel with passion. And as I mentioned in an earlier post on my blog, one of the most exciting and encouraging things is that these very evangelical, charismatic churches have such an incredible awareness of ministries of compassion and mercy and a real desire to see justice brought in different places in the world. In particular, Hillsong, the church that presents the conference, that puts it together, has a very active ministry called Compassion that sponsors children from all over the two-thirds world, Brazil, in Asia, India, China, and of course in South Africa as well, really having a strong emphasis on the children of Rwanda. And they are doing phenomenal work, literally giving of their best people and their best resources to see that that work takes place. The other very encouraging thing was some of the speakers who I have spoken to before. Bill Hybels was there. I had the good fortune of meeting Pastor Bill Hybels at his church in California last year when I was in America, and chatting with him for a little while. And Rick Warren from the Saddleback Community Church in California. And, you know, these are two guys who really have a great deal of prominence and success, and one could even say there's some measure of fame that accompanies them, certainly in the Christian world. And they were just such humble, wonderfully humble guys. In particular, Rick Warren spoke about the ministries that that he really feels God has called him to, and particularly in this time in his life. I mean, he was saying that he's made from the sale of his book, The Purpose-Driven Life. He had never anticipated that the book would be so successful, and it has made hundreds of millions of dollars in sales throughout the world, and he's given it all away. You know, he literally has given it away. He no longer draws a salary from his church. He blessed his church by saying everything that they had paid him for the past 20 years, he paid them that to be used in mission work in the church. And he gives away 90% of his income, and off the other 10% he still tithes and travels the world and speaks at conferences and uses his money. And in particular, the very, very encouraging thing about Rick Warren, which is something that's very close to my heart as well, is that Rick Warren has been called by God to use his influence, to use his prominence, and really he says it's so undeserved, and you can see it in this guy. I mean, there he was up on stage, and look, you can imagine at a conference such as this, there were a lot of fairly flashy people, but this guy was up there in a normal sort of old ironed faded shirt and you know, ordinary pair of pants and no labels, just a straight down the line guy. And he believes that God has really called him in this time of his life to do two things. The first and the most important thing is to mobilize, encourage, to really press churches to become involved in fighting the scourge of HIV/AIDS, and both in terms of prevention and, of course, also in terms of caring for those who are infected and those who are affected. And so he's got quite a strong ministry, obviously, in sub-Saharan Africa, in South Africa, where I'm from, and is really trying to use the resources that he has to encourage the churches. The second thing that that he believes God has really called him to do in this part of his life is to encourage and to train and to develop leaders in local churches in areas of the world where they may not have the privilege of getting to a seminary or going to a university, and just really practical things, how to work with volunteers in one's church, people who have busy lives outside of their church community, how to do a needs analysis to find out what the needs are in your community, how to spend time with God, discovering what it is that God wants you to do, and really how to mobilize and effectively utilize the human resources and the financial resources, buildings, any resource that one has, so that the kingdom of God could be established as a place of justice and mercy and peace and love and forgiveness. And I think that's a wonderful thing. I must say I was very encouraged by the talks that both he and Bill Hybels gave. They were theologically certainly very sound. You know, at least from my perspective, you know, there was no prosperity teaching in there. They really were fundamentally Trinitarian in their approach, with a real recognition of humility and service and the need to spend one's life just in the presence of God, and really spending your energy and your time and your gifts and your ability to bless people. Perhaps the most encouraging and endearing thing about Rick Warren's talk, I'll talk about Bill Hybels in a few moments, was where Rick Warren really just said, hey folks, we need to begin to realize as Christians, as those who have the privilege of having received God's grace, we need to understand that we are not on earth for ourselves. We are placed here by Almighty God to live a life for others. You know, the week before I came to Australia, I was at the University of Pietermaritzburg in KwaZulu-Natal, and at the School of Religion and Theology, and I was attending an academic conference, the Theological Society of Southern Africa, and you know, that message is the same message as the one that that we were encouraged to reflect on at the Theological Society meetings, where we looked at Dietrich Bonhoeffer and ecclesiology. And the thing that I really want to challenge, particularly those of us in the mainline churches and particularly learned colleagues, people who have senior degrees, who think theologically at a very sophisticated and high level, is to be open. You know, let's be critical about what we hear from these places, and let's point out the things which we see to be wrong and believe to be wrong. But you know, the message that some of these guys are bringing is not a new message. Particularly the message that I heard from Rick Warren sounded so much like what I had read and have read over the years and heard about Dietrich Bonhoeffer and Dietrich Bonhoeffer's message. It's a message of absolute passionate dedication and love for Christ, and allowing that love for Christ, that experience of Christ's mercy and grace, to be brought into society so that people will experience the mercy and the grace and the love of Christ in a tangible and real way that not only changes the individual, but that literally transforms society, that impacts social and political structures, that challenges the prevailing economy and, you know, particularly the capitalist individual wealth system, and that really seeks to find ways to care for those who struggle under the yoke of oppression. And so that was a really encouraging thing. And I want to encourage the colleagues that are out there, those of you who are listening, particularly those, as I say, who are in responsible positions, colleagues who are teaching in seminaries, colleagues who are leading churches. I want to encourage you, people who are writing, look at some of the stuff which is out there. I mean, this is what our people are reading. and let's find what we can use from that to really encourage our students, our congregations, our members to impact Christ, bring Christ as an impact into the world. Now, Rick Warren was wonderful. Bill Hybels, also an incredible guy. I mean, Bill Hybels really is a very unique individual. You can see that he's a guy who has a great deal of personal charisma, and also has a very keen awareness of the fact that even though he has received such prominence in Christian circles, that he is absolutely humble about that. I mean, it was just wonderful to see and hear him speak. You know, unlike many of the other guys who were there, it was very interesting to watch guys like Jensen Franklin, who I'd never heard before, and guys who I was incredibly skeptical of, or still am in many ways, like Reinhard Bonnke. I mean, these guys are in some ways, they are over the top. They're out there, they're shouting and going for it. But there was Bill Hybels, just a straight down the line, well prepared, well thought through, reasoned, very good exegesis. He really does try and honor not only the character of particular verses and the content of them, but tries to honor and responsibly utilize scripture as a tool that God has given us. The one talk which really spoke to me that Bill Hybels gave was a talk to pastors and leaders. The conference, as I said, had those morning and evening sessions at which different people spoke, and then during the day at 10:45, and then again at 12:30, and in the afternoon at about 2, there would be special electives which you could attend in different streams. And these streams, obviously, with it being Hillsong, covered worship. There was a stream there for creative arts, for drama, wonderful things which are being done there. Stream for pastors and leaders, for youth leaders and youth workers. And it was incredible. I mean, the main sessions at night had, 40,000 people just worshiping God from everywhere. The largest grouping, which was there from a single church or denomination, were from the Salvation Army. How about that, eh? And I believe that the Salvation Army is really going through a wonderful renewal. I'd heard that the Salvation Army in England had really, and it just again shows that I believe God is really wanting the church to develop a social gospel approach, an approach which takes seriously the message of the gospel, that people need to be in a right relationship with God. They need to be in a right relationship with those who live around them, family, friends, and even those that they don't know. And they need to be socially and conscious and aware of what it is that God wants them to do. But at Bill Hybels' talk, he spoke about to pastors and ministers about pacing yourself for the long haul. And, I have come to realize, I mean, I'm a young guy. I'm very thankful to God. I'm 34 years old this year, and God has really blessed me to be able to do and experience so much in my young life. And I've worked in large churches and currently serve in a large mega church, and work at the seminary, have the privilege of teaching at John Wesley College, where I'm the dean. And I've done all these things. I've completed a doctorate and married. That's the greatest blessing. We've got another little young one on the way, by the way, so please pray for Megan and Courtney and I as we get ready for the birth of another child. But God has just blessed me with so many things, and I've just come to realize that I haven't been pacing myself for the long haul. I've been spending my life running it like it's a sprint race, And, I'm grateful to God for the courage that I've had to dare and to reach out there and do things. But I also recognize that if I'm going to be fruitful and effective for the long haul, if I'm going to be available to God to get the very best out of my life, I have to pace myself for the marathon. My good friend Peter Grasso, you can have a look at his. He's probably got one of the best blogs on the internet. You can see his at www. rockinthegrass. That's one word, rockinthegrass.blogspot.com. He's run a whole lot of Comrades Marathons. The Comrades Marathon is sort of, I think it's about 95 or 100 kilometer race between Pietermaritzburg and Durban. And I think he's done 12 or 13 of these, you know, God bless him. And just a short while ago, we were talking about what it takes to successfully run a marathon like that and how you've got to pace yourself. And, you know, in many ways, Bill Hybels was saying, we've got to train ourselves to be in the race. We need to be well equipped. We need to make sure that we're caring for what it is that will sustain us in the race. We need to always remain on the side of hope. It's so easy to lose hope in the ministry, particularly I see it in the mainline denominations where we've become bureaucratic, and I myself have struggled with this over time. I've been very discouraged by senior leaders and sometimes their lack of vision and lack of concern and how the church becomes so inwardly focused. But, you know, we need to stay on the side of hope. We need to train ourselves so that when those struggles and challenges and moments of loss of hope come, that we have enough energy to see us through, to take us just that extra mile or two. And I want to say to the junior colleagues who are listening in, to those who are just starting out on a ministry, to probationer ministers, to those who are at seminary and studying, and those who are just getting in there, know that God has a great plan for you, and that the greatest plan that God has for you is just to be faithful in your ministry. I mean, I'm amazed at how few colleagues have an active faith life with Christ. You know, I spent some time with one of our senior ministers just over a week and a bit ago with the Reverend Peter Woods. He's heads up John Wesley College in Pietermaritzburg. You can read Peter's site as well. Peter has a fantastic, fantastic blog. It's www.peterwoods, also one word, peterwoods.blogspot.com. And Peter has, I mean, he's one of those guys that just inspires me. You know, takes silent retreats every year, has a daily cycle of spiritual devotion, and when you sit with a guy, you can just sense and feel the spiritual depth coming from him. You know, he's grounded in a place that allows him not to be shaken and moved by all of these waves that roll through. And I just want to say to the younger clergy, those who are getting in there, you know, run the race in such a way that you'll be in it for the long haul. Don't allow yourself to be distracted, to be pulled out too early. Don't allow yourself to be overcome, and train yourself, train yourself, train yourself. You know, do things like this, which I've just done this week. Get inspired every now and then. You know, run with people who are running well, and get alongside them and allow them to up your pace a little bit, to give you some new ideas and a little bit of insight. Okay, well, friends, I'm gonna start wrapping up now. I'm grateful for those who've listened. I know there hasn't been too much of substance in this podcast. I must say that since having completed my doctorate, I've been taking a bit of time just to read and think in other areas. You know, I'll certainly add some further academic thought in a few weeks. But I just really wanted to share something of the blessing that God has given me this week, and express my gratitude and thanks to God and those who've brought me here, and really just encourage us. You know, if there are two things that we can take away, is be aware of where it is that you are. You know, the one thing that Rick Warren really challenged us with, he used that text from, I think it's Genesis chapter 4, verse 2, where when Moses comes to the burning bush, you know, God says to him, "What is that in your hand?" Remember, he was a shepherd at that stage. And he says, "It is my staff." And Rick Warren was saying, you know, that staff represented a number of things for Moses. I mean, obviously it was his livelihood. It was, you know, he was a shepherd and that represented his livelihood. It was also his identity, you know, who he is, what it is that he spends his time doing. And obviously it was also his influence, you know, how he can herd the sheep, take them to places of green pasture and rest. And Rick Warren was really saying, we need to constantly ask ourselves the question that God asks us. What is in your hands? What is it that God has given you? Where are you in your life now? Maybe you're a teacher, maybe you're a pastor, a parent, a cell group leader. You know, what is it that God has given you? What has God placed in your hands to use? And I really want to encourage you, make the best of it. Think not only about yourself, your own family, your own church, but be very aware of what is around you, people who have need, people who long to know the gospel and grace of Christ. And you know, perhaps the second thing is just to say, if you're feeling worn out, if you're beginning to lose hope, you know, take courage. Take courage. Draw near to God again. Find ways to renew your spirit. Maybe you're feeling you haven't trained well enough for the race, and it's time for you to up that a little bit, to read something inspiring, or to go and attend a course that'll inspire you. And we would just love for that to happen. Okay, let me end just by saying we've got some visitors coming to John Wesley College over the next month or so. We've got Dr. Jane Leach and two students from Wesley House in Cambridge, which is where Methodist ministers are trained at Cambridge University in the UK. And they're going to be with us from the 25th of July, which is just before I get back from the World Methodist Council in Korea, which I'll be going to in just over a week's time. And Dr. Leach and the two students will be with us. Dr. Leach will be doing some lectures at the seminary. And if you're interested to attend those, if you're in the area, we would love to have you come along. They're going to be during the daytime. Most of them will take place on Thursday mornings. And if you're interested, then send me an email and I'll gladly let you have details for that. I hope to be able to record them and put them on the web. My email address is digitaldion, DigitalDion, one word, digitaldion@gmail.com. gmail.com, digitaldion@gmail.com, so drop me a line. And then arriving on the 2nd of August, we've got Dr. Willie Jennings and his wife, Joanne Jennings. She's the Reverend Joanne Jennings. Dr. Willie Jennings is the Associate Dean of the Duke Divinity School at Duke University in North Carolina. And he is an incredible, incredible man, a wonderful, wonderful speaker. I attended some of his lectures when I was at Duke last year, and he's just so encouraging. He's an ordained Southern Baptist minister, as is his wife, Joanne. And Dr. Jennings just is the most incredible speaker. He's a systematic theologian, has a doctorate in systematic theology, and has a particular understanding of the dynamics of culture and race and how those influence our understanding of our faith. And has a real special expertise on the development of black churches in the North American context. And he's been to Africa a number of times before. I think it'll be his first time in South Africa, but he's been here a number of times before. And he's going to be doing a number of lectures, about five or six lectures. And if you're interested in those, then please drop me a line, digitaldion@gmail.com. And he will also be doing a public lecture. And that's going to take place on Thursday, the 12th of August, Thursday the 12th of August, from 1:30 to 3 p.m. in the Burnett Memorial Chapel, which is on the campus of John Wesley College. And we would encourage as many folks as possible, come along to that. Again, I hope to record it and we'll put it on the internet. But it's always good to be there and to be able to ask a few questions and just to develop and grow and do a bit of training for your ministry. And so those resources are available. Well, friends, that's all I've got time for at the moment. I want to take some time to go dip my feet in the Pacific Ocean and get ready. I'm off to church this evening. And I just want to say, God bless you in your ministry. I'm always happy to pray for people and to encourage you and to help you wherever I can. So by all means, drop me a line. Please send me some comments, and I'd love to hear some feedback, particularly if there are any good resources that I can make mention of on the blog or in the podcast. And God bless you, and look forward to hearing from you and speaking to you soon. This has been Dion speaking to you from the Spirituality Podcast at www.spirituality.org.za.